On our last broadcast, I began the message entitled, Obey the Vision. And we learned why it's necessary to obey God's vision. Because God used visions to call his servants, to encourage his servants, and to give further instructions to his servants. And there are two more things that we can learn. So open your Bibles to Acts 26, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life. Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio now as we take a look in the book.
I shook that off. I said, not me. Not me. I can't even get a sentence out good. So I had a stuttering problem. So I said, no way in the world I'm going to be a preacher. And every time I went to church and I saw a preacher preach, I started remembering that vision. I started not going to church every Sunday. Because I didn't want to compare myself with that preacher in that pulpit. Because that thought would always come to me, you're going to be up here one day. You're going to be up here preaching one day. So I came on out here to Texas. And I started going to a Methodist church right over here in Irving, Texas. But right there, I started getting that same thought. You're going to be up here one day. You're going to be preaching. Until eventually, I had to just accept the vision and obey the vision. I tried to ignore the vision. I tried to run from the vision. But eventually, I had to just do one thing and obey the vision. Last year, this time, I was praying about a mission. Praying about getting the church involved in foreign missions. I said, Lord, I believe you want us to, number one, grow right there where we're at. We're doing a good job. And the Lord was saying you just need to bloom where you're planted. Just like a tree, you just need to bloom where you're planted that people can enjoy the fruit and that people can come and participate. But also, the Lord starts showing me about planting churches and helping churches. And I said, Lord, I want to do some mission work overseas. But Lord, I'm not trying to tell you my requirements are for me to do mission work. But Lord, if you could fix it, because you can fix anything. I said, Lord, if you can just fix it for us to be able to do mission work close by, particularly the first trip, because, Lord, I don't want to go way on the other side of the world just yet because that'll scare a lot of people away. Could you fix it where we got some close by? And could you fix it, Lord, to make it affordable? Where it don't cost that much. That way, not only can I go, but I can take a group of people. I can take a team with me. I said, then, Lord, if you could fix it now I know you can do it, and I ain't trying to, you know, have my own way here, Lord. But if you could fix it where we wouldn't have to stay out in the bush where the mosquitoes will get us. If you could fix it before we can, you know, stay in the missionary house or something, Lord. I ain't trying to be choice, but Lord, I don't want for us to take four or five people somewhere and they get all bit up by mosquitoes and it's a bad experience, and then they come back here putting out a bad report here at the church. Lord, let it be a good report when we come back. So I went to this meeting about this time last year. And it was dealing with Ecuador. And this pastor was sharing his vision He starts sharing his vision to get 12 other pastors to partner with him to go to Ecuador to minister to the Afro-Ecuadorians. There's about 1 million Afro-Ecuadorians over there in Ecuador, but only 2% of them have come to faith in Jesus Christ. I said, well, boy, that is a mission field. And as I began to listen to him and listen to him and listen to him, my heart began to go out. I say, look like this thing is what I've been looking for. And then they began to start asking questions. Somebody asked the question. They say, well, how far is Ecuador from here? How long would it take you by plane? He said, it's a 6-hour flight. I said, oh, that's close. Check. Then he talked a little bit more in sharing the vision. And somebody asked, well, how much do it cost? He said, between $1,200 to $1,600. I said, that ain't bad at all. That's affordable. Hey, check. Then he began to share the vision a little bit more. And somebody asked, well, what about the accommodation? What about the accommodation? Are we going to be staying out there in the bush? Yeah, I said, yeah, well, we're going to be staying out there in the bush. He said, no. He said, we'll probably stay in some homes, some Christian people homes, or either we'll stay in a hotel. I said, hotel? Hey. Check. I said, this is what I've been praying about. I think this is it. This is it. So when they broke for lunch, I said, where did you sign at? They said, well, we got a couple of more hours left. I said, I ain't got time for a couple more hours. I said, I'm going to eat and go on home because I got some other things I got to do. But I already know that this is what I've been praying about. So where the list at? And I was the first one, ladies and gentlemen, that signed to go on that mission trip to Ecuador. Listen. When you don't always have to get the vision. Somebody else can get the vision. But you have to decide on doing one or three things. You can either obey the vision, disobey the vision, or get into your own vision, which is division. You can either obey the vision, disobey the vision, or come up with your own vision, which is two visions. I say, if God done gave him the plan, hey, that's all right. Let me just follow the leading of the Lord. Lord don't have to give it to me. All I need to know is you following the Lord. If you following the Lord, then I'm going to plug in with that. Listen. See, our job is to find out what God is doing and then get on board with it. Get on board with it. Find out what he's doing and obey the vision. Because when you obey the vision, that's the third thing, is the reward of the vision. The reward of obeying the vision. The reward of obeying the vision. Look here in the text. It says, for these causes, verse 21, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore attained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and to the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say unto me. Listen, when you obey the vision, you get three things. The first thing you get God's protection. Look at that. Paul said they've been trying to kill me, but they couldn't. They've been trying their best. The Jews done had contract after contract out on my life. They're trying to kill me, but they can't kill me. And why is that? Because you get God's protection. Listen. When you obey God's provision, one of the first things you're going to get is God's protection. Listen, when I got ready to go over here to Ecuador, that Ebola virus had broke out. And everybody was kind of afraid about that virus breaking out, particularly if you was going to be doing international travel. They was kind of telling you to put the brakes down on that international travel because of this Ebola virus. But I looked at it like this here. I said, just like I got a birthday, God already done assigned me a death day. And I can't die until it's my death day. Hello, somebody. See, listen, it's just like a man. I heard about a man that got shot 5 times but didn't die. But I had a friend whose daddy was in the hospital, and my friend was giving his daddy some water to drink, and his daddy got choked and died. Wait a minute now. He got choked drinking some water. How in the world he got just choked drinking water and he died, and the man got shot 5 times but didn't die? Well, the man that got shot 5 times, that wasn't his death day. You can't die until it's your death day. I went on over there. God protected me, ate food that I ain't never ate before. Hello, somebody. But God protected me. Not only did God protect his person when they obeyed the vision, but God provides. There's the protection of God, but there's the provisions of God. Look here in verse 22 again. Paul says, having therefore attained help of God. I got some help from God. Somebody else say, I got some help. Help from God. I continue until this day, witnessing both to the small and to the great, saying none other thing than those things which prophet and Moses did say should come. Paul says, I kept on doing what I supposed to do. I kept carrying out my assignment. But when Paul was carrying out his assignment, who paid for it? Paul carried out his assignment on government expense. Hello, somebody. Why is that? Because Paul was in jail. In other words, the government was feeding Paul every day. The government was clothing Paul every day. The government was providing shelter for Paul every day. Paul wrote 4 books of the Bible while he was in jail. He wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I call that the General Electric Power Company. G for Galatians, E for Ephesians. That's the electric. P for Philippians. That's the power. And C, Colossians, that's company. General Electric Power Company. He wrote the power pack right there. God provided a quiet place for him in order to write the Bible. You see what God does? God provides for his own. Listen to me. That just didn't happen back then, even right now. You know how I went on that mission trip? I didn't have that kind of money. When I signed up, after I had signed up, I got a phone call saying, hey, Pastor, because you're one of the pastors that signed up on that day, we got $400 that we want to put towards your trip. I say, thank you, Jesus. How about that? And it started getting kind of close right there at the end. So a couple of weeks right there, for we had to send the rest of the money in. The man called me back, another man called. And he said, listen, I got another $400. That I want to put towards your trip. Isn't God a good God? I said, wait a minute. The trip only cost $1,600. That means I got $800. That's half of my fare. Isn't God a good God? Listen. Wherever God guides, God will provide. Listen. But the third thing you get more vision. Not only do you get God's protection and vision, provision, you get more vision. See, this one, the last vision that Paul got. Because Paul obeyed God, God gave him another vision. When you read that same chapter of Acts chapter 9, particularly start reading about verse number 12, the Bible tells us that Paul was blind on the road of Damascus. And God gave him a vision when he got there to Damascus that there was a man by the name of Ananias that was going to come over to his house and was going to lay hands on him and heal him. And just like that vision said that Ananias was going to come over there to the house and go lay hands on him and heal him, it happened just like that. And then Paul got on up and he started preaching there in Damascus, Jerusalem, and Judea, and took the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. And because he obeyed God, God gave him another vision. He gave him a vision. Paul was a sickly man. He had a thorn in his flesh. And Paul prayed 3 times, God, heal me, heal me. Do something about this thorn in the flesh. But what God did, God said, I got something better. I'm going to give you a vision. And he gave him a vision, not where he was at, but he gave him a vision of where he was going to be one day. He gave him a vision of heaven. He began to see things that eyes had never seen. And ears had never heard. Neither had it entered the heart of man, the stuff that God had in store for those that love him. And what God was trying to let Paul know, that Paul, you can make it because my grace is sufficient for thee. And what you need sometime is not for God to come and deliver you out of that situation. You just need a little bit more grace to make it in that situation. Oh, see, sometimes we get so hooked on where we are that we lose sight of where we're going, and we need a fresh vision from God. And we never heard Paul praying about that thorn in the flesh again, because he had gotten a vision from God, and God gave him another vision. He gave him a vision. There was a man in Acts 16. You can read about it in Macedonia, saying, come over here and help us. And Paul saw that man in a vision. Paul got on a boat and he went on over to Macedonia, Greece, and he began to start preaching over there. He preached so until it made some of the folks mad, because see, when you start doing the Lord's work, the devil start coming out of the woodworks, and they threw Paul in the Philippian jail. But that didn't stop Paul's praise. As a matter of fact, whatever is in you when the pressure is on, it's going to come out of you. And if you got praise in you, whether you're going through a good day or a bad day, if you got praise in you, the harder they squeeze, the more your praise. Paul started praying and started praising God at midnight in that jail cell. And how many of you know when the praises go up, God come on down? God came down and began to bring forth an earthquake. And the Bible says that the doors of the prison cells was open. Their chains began to fall off the prisoners. When the prison guard saw that, he began to take his sword and he started to fall on his sword. But Paul said, do yourself no harm, because this ain't no prison break. This is a praise break. And the man came trembling and saying, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, you just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your household. Oh, but it didn't stop there. God gave him another vision. When he obeyed God, God gave him another vision. What vision was this? It was the crown of righteousness. He saw that when this battle was over down here, one day, to be absent from the body, he was going to be present with the Lord, and the Lord was going to give him a crown. Oh, you can read about that over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. now is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness that the Lord will give me on that day, but not to me only, but to everybody that love his appearing. Isn't God a good God? God gonna give you a crown for doing the right thing. God is gonna give you a crown for saying the right thing. God is gonna give you a crown for getting on the right road. He's gonna give you a crown for going in the right direction. He's gonna give you a crown for obeying his vision. Thank God for the crown of righteousness. God is a good God. I say, God is a good God. How many of you know he's a good God? He's a mighty God. He's a gracious God. As I come to a close, that Thursday, as we was out on the street witnessing, and actually we had finished witnessing, and we were sitting down on a bench. And as I sat down on a bench, there was a little short man that came up to me. And this little short man came to me, and he started trying to talk to me. But he was speaking Spanish. I don't know no Spanish. So I called for the interpreter. I said, hey, what is he saying? So the fella, he spoke again in Spanish. He says he want to know something about God. He said, could you tell him about God? I said, that's how they do it over here? I said, ain't nobody in America ever just walked up to me and say that they want to know about God. I said, hey, open to the gospel, Dr. Bear. And I began to tell him about Jesus. I told him how God became flesh and dwelled among us and lived a perfect life. And he died on Calvary's cross for your sin and my sin. And he made a perfect exchange. He says, I'm willing to give you my righteousness and you let me have your sinfulness. And I began to tell him, if you just confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. And that young man that you're looking at right there, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. See, that's the reward of obeying the vision. You'll see a soul in heaven, and God used you to bring him there. That's the reward of obeying the vision. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. Help us all to obey the vision. Help us, dear God, to help these people over in Ecuador. They don't even have a church, dear God. The man that was saved, he need a church, Lord, to go to. But you be so kind and raise up some folks to go over to Ecuador. Touch in a mighty way. But before we go over there, Lord, there's some folks you got right here. You brought somebody here this morning that may need Jesus. Would you be so kind and give them Jesus? Would you be so kind and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? So touch right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bread of life. Sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us. us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah, yeah.